This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi
everyone, welcome to
Say Less.
Welcome to TBI episode 207. It's a lot, isn't it? I feel like it's there should be a limit. I think you should have 200. They should shoot you in the woods. That's enough now.
Put you on a death march.
Come on now. Are you trying to impress?
Like you're an American prisoner of war in Japan. They just walk you out there.
Yeah, but we get a guest, Elliot Steele, returning from his smash hit Edinburgh Fringe.
You had a good one, huh?
Lucas on the decks over there. Lucas back from his first ever Fringe.
Yeah. Smash hit. Everyone had a good one, it seemed, man.
Is that true, though? Is that one of them ones where last year
everyone's lying?
No, because last year, if you followed social media, everyone seemed to be having a great one. But I spoke to loads of people afterwards who were like, it was not great.
No, was it?
Is this year the same?
No, it was. I had a good one. I was
Everyone else
is a loser. Shucks,
man.
Everyone else is shit, man.
They're all coming to see me and no one else. Let's just call it the Elliot Fringe. I was on Cowgate for the Underbelly, and I noticed that. So this is very Edinburgh for your audience already. So it was actually quite dead, and I've noticed over the years that Cowgate's dying a little bit.
Well, yeah, because it used to be it used to be chaos, didn't it? You know. Cowgate was like the sort of big market in in Newcastle. It was just mad. Like, you know what I mean? Go do it at the wrong time. You're going to get
in Newcastle.
A batty old finger. But that's why I did my show down there a few years in a row.
Did seven shows a day.
Carl's doing all right. He's doing nine extra shows. He'll do any spot down there, Carl. He's always
street entertainer. You offered to fly off me down there. It's a good flyer.
But yeah, it does say when I was that week I was there, it felt like it didn't feel as mental as it has in previous years.
No, but this sounds quite horrific to say, but it was what was happening. Like I was having this thing where everyone would be down there like, yeah man, you know, my numbers ain't good, and I'd have to be like,
yeah, mine are great, I'm
loving that. No, but it was,
but that's
it
the
was,
nature of it, isn't it? Like
I've had it go awfully as well, so well, yes. I've been on the other end of it.
Yeah.
But
this is why we were all so shocked with your run this year.
Elliot, still.
like finding out Saka's been nominated for the Ballon d'Or.
Oh my God. Oh, you know, it is an open access arts festival. Don't let any old person up there. No, but it was, I mean, I felt like, it's funny, I felt like this year there was a lot of people who are obviously really good, but in previous years haven't had great festivals, that suddenly this year it clicked and they had a really good festival, which was nice.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was just about the same names and same voices that you always sort of hear at the Fringe. So it was a refreshing sounding Fringe. How did yours go, Lucas?
It was great. It was very exciting.
You were doing, what were you doing? You were doing a split bill?
I was doing a split bill and I was hosting a compilation show as well. Elliot was giving me shit because I wasn't paying the acts.
He wouldn't pay the acts.
How am I supposed to make money? I'm just kidding.
I mean, although we did pre-record before you got here, Julian, I said to Lucas, have we paid you for July? And he went, no. I was like, okay, that's us. That's on us.
July, we didn't.
I don't think so, no.
You want to check?
Yeah,
check.
I'll check. I'm pretty sure, but we'll check afterwards.
Okay. But Julian said that like I'm gonna. Julian said that like the money's all gone.
Yeah. I want to check, man, because I'm in the hole.
TBI are in the hole.
Because if you haven't got paid, then I'm going under.
I was going to come in here one day, some Albanian men are just taking the equipment out and saying, Mr. Dean owes us some money.
They're just like, yeah, we aren't part of the podcast now.
Yeah, have a chair.
I'll have a double check. Yeah.
We have to give 70% of our Patreon to the Albanian mafia. And get into the WhatsApp group.
This show's called Two Great Albanians. Anyway, so you had a good one though.
Yeah, I did pay the axe in the end.
Oh, you did in the end. Okay, but it was your first full run.
First full run. Yeah.
Well, you've been up there, popped up there before.
I've been up there last year for a week.
How did you find it as a month? Because the first full run is quite a big old slog.
It was intense. Yeah, I had to pace myself.
I saw you. I only went out on weekends. Like 4 days before the end.
Yeah.
And you look pretty fresh. You didn't look like you were struggling.
No.
The first day I saw you, you looked pretty tired.
Yeah, I was.
Last week you had the sort of
the last week hit me hard.
Were you hitting it hard there, going out and stuff?
I was going out for a few beers here and there. I wasn't doing. I think I probably had like 6 or 7 5 AMs.
That's still a lot of 5 AMs. Really, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. But I do say that when you're up there, 5 AM is 2 AM.
Yeah, I agree. Like, because I was up there for six nights, was it? And you know, most nights I'd do my show and I'd do an extra gig here and there, and then I'd go for a few pints, maybe like some nights 3 or 4 pints, and I get to bed at 2:30, and it's like that is if you have three or four pints normally, you're getting to bed at 11 PM. Mm. So just the hours are shifted. So I do, yeah. But 5 AM up there, it's not as mad as a 5 AM outside of Edinburgh.
And my show ended at 11. Yes, so by the time I got to the bar where I drink and stuff, like, by the time you have a beer and see the people you're seeing, it's midnight.
Yeah.
And you've just finished work.
Yes.
But yeah, it was. I didn't really do too many extra spots or anything like that. I was just not in the mood for any of that.
I felt like I just did that thing of, because I was only in 5 nights, I thought I need to load up all the other gigs just to make that 5 nights financially viable. Mm. And then the moment I got there, I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to do extra gigs. It's like, yeah, once you're there, you just want to do your show and have a beer afterwards.
Yeah, you've got, I always think when you go up there, you've got to remember when you're up there, you're not in the mindset you're in now. Nah. And also, because I did so many previews and I was burnt out by the time I got up there.
Yeah.
I was knackered. So the first few days, I got there a little bit early and just chilled in my flat, like made a spaghetti.
Who were you living with?
Tom Horton. It was good fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He didn't tidy up the flat though.
Really?
He just left. He knew I was spending an extra day.
He's just a butler.
I was fucked off about it, and he left his suit. And I saw he left his suit. I was like, yeah, I could bring that back with me, but fuck him.
I said you just did it. Put it on and did a shit.
I was like, fuck him, innit?
Shit yourself.
It's a hard one, them Edinburgh flat shares. Who were you sharing with, Luke?
I was sharing it with my person I was doing a split bill with, Serena.
And was it a nice house share? Like everyone pulled their weight?
Did you get laid?
When my girlfriend came up, I did.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, it was so exciting. I couldn't believe it. It was good. It was a good flat. It was
did
pretty
your girlfriend
small.
Come up for a little while? Yeah.
Just the end, the last week.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a nice flat. The toilet seat fell off at the end.
And them Edinburgh flats, though, man, they are budget, innit?
They are, right?
Mine was class.
Oh, really?
I went bougie.
Okay, see, I used to always have a nice one, but then now, like, the first few years I went up, I used to have, like, proper student flats.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I always think, like, I went to visit, I popped in when I was up there to visit John Hastings' flat. And that was a proper student flat, man. Like, sort of the toilet seat's a bit wobbly, the shower's shit. Like, everything was just a bit wonky, you know what I mean?
Spend that bit of money in it. Just
what makes it a much easier month? You've got to think about your mental health, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you get back and you're like, you should want to get back to your flat and like the environment you're in.
Yeah, you shouldn't be staying out till 5 AM because I don't want to go home to my shithole.
Yeah, where are we going next?
Because the first 3 nights up there, because like Hannah and Twyla came up for the weekend, so we had a nice, lovely Airbnb we had in New Haven. So it's next to Leith.
Oh, lovely.
And it's gorgeous by the water. And now the tram runs up there every 10 minutes. So like, it's not like the old days where if you stayed in Leith, it was a mission to get out. But and it was a proper nice 2-bedroom luxury flat. But the 3 nights I was up before my own, I was meant to be staying at John Hastings because he was going to be in a hotel. And then his girlfriend cancelled the trip last minute because he got COVID. So I just suddenly had nowhere to stay on the week. So I had to book into one of them proper student hostel, like, you know, the sort of ones on Cowgate. Cow, my old favourite haunt.
Oh no, I've got to stay on Cowgate. Hannah,
combination fell
through. Cow, I've got a friend who can put you up.
Nah, it's cool, man. You know, I mean, that's Cowgate. You know, it's sort of on the backside of Cowgate. But so it was one of it was the proper like halls of residence. And it was so grim. Every door slams. I don't know how, like, just put some of them things. I know they're fire doors, but
door slamming is the fucking oh man,
non-stop
thing.
And like, I was in an apartment. There was 5 or 6 bedrooms, but you never saw anyone. You heard them, but like, there was a living sort of kitchen. No one used it. 2 bathrooms. But it was like a prison cell. I mean, everyone asked me what it's like. I said it was like staying in a young offenders institute. It was all grey and shit, and the bed like the duvet. Was like, looked fat. Have you ever seen a duvet? It looks fat. But when you lift it up, it's like a waffer. It's like,
it's like, a bit of toast. Yeah.
It was so light. Like, it was all air. I don't know how they did it. Like an aero or something, man. But it's like, it was just shit. Really shit.
I love that aero's marketing is like bubbly chocolate. It's like, you've just not put as much chocolate in it. Yeah, it's air.
I want chocolate in them holes. Yeah. The holes of chocolate and I'll eat it. And yeah, the pillow. It's one of them pillows that's just got nothing to it at all.
Oh, man. My flat was nice.
It was
good. And it makes all the difference because you do... I was like, because I was sort of 20-minute walk from my venue,
yeah,
which I think is the perfect amount.
Where were you staying? What area?
Brunsfield.
Nice. Yeah, all the coffee shop.
Head together on the walk and stuff, innit?
Yeah, no, I'd have my routine was I'd have a cigarette on my walk over,
yeah,
get to the venue, get my drink, and then have a cigarette outside the venue.
Yeah.
And that was my mental preparation.
I used to love a little pre-show cigarette when I was in Edinburgh. And at the Underbelly as well. When I did my debut year in the room you just did, the Deli Belly. Loved it. It's a great room.
Awfully named.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
A little bit racially charged.
But yeah, I used to do that. I remember me and Pete Johansson were both doing the Underbelly. And we'd always just stand outside. I'd have a little fag. Just like, you know, sometimes it'd be a little bit rainy. It'd just be a lovely little pre-show ritual and then go in and do our shows.
If it was Pete was smoking as well, I'd quit. Yeah. So I'd have less time to spend with him. Nothing would make me quit cigarettes.
That guy's not been in the country about 4 years. You mention his name, people are still like, man. They've got Vietnam flashbacks. So Pete, having arguments with Pete.
Like putting a bad vibe.
I love winding people up.
I really got on with Pete. I really like him. In fact, top 5 club sets I've ever seen live.
Oh man, he's a great comic. I think he's still doing it semi, but like, you see, he went back and did like a degree and stuff, didn't he?
He would be like a case study in show business of however talented you are and however good you are. If you are mean
Don't
to people,
be a cunt.
Yeah, you will.
I get what you're saying, but I also think he was very. He had some very good morals, especially in terms of comedy. He's the first person I ever saw just fully refused to do a gig because he didn't like how Daryl Martin was running the gig. Like basically, he was doing the weekend at Just the Tonic in Nottingham, and this is probably a very niche comedy chat, but for people, if you're doing, say, the Comedy Store, you're doing the Glees, you're doing most weekend clubs, everyone's getting paid the same. You're all doing 20 minutes. Compare's getting paid a little bit more because they're doing the whole night. So that every act should be interchangeable, right? If you're on the same money, like you look at the Comedy Store lineup for the weekend, there's no set closer, there's no set opener. Mm. You're all juggling around based on the other gigs you're doing. And that, if you're all getting paid the same, that should be the case, right? If you're headlining, you should get paid more. Mm. So Pete was doing Just the Tonic in Nottingham. Friday night, he's closing. Saturday night, he's closing. And everyone's getting paid the same money. And he says, oh man, I just checked the last train back to London, like that it goes, I'll miss it if I'm closing. So, and he asked the other acts, anyone else got to get anywhere? And they were like, no. So he went, can you swap? And they said, yes. So he went to Daryl and said, like, right, the other acts are cool. Can we swap? I'll go open or middle and then I'll get the train back. And Daryl went, no, you've got to close. And he went, why have I got to close? Like, you're not paying, I'm not headlining. We're all doing the same length of time for the same money. And Daryl was like, yeah, but you've got to close. You're the best act. And he went, well, if I'm the best act, why aren't you paying me more than the other acts? And it went to a big argument, and he literally said, I'm not doing the gig, and just cancelled on the day.
Good.
And like, and I mean, think he, there's he that, the print that, that
the
is.
Trains, you know what I mean? He could have checked the trains. Yeah. Like, and they were getting,
and,
got there.
And they were getting him a hotel. He could have just got the early one. Yeah, look, I really.
No, but this is, they don't have hotels, do they?
Oh, right.
No, so
I really liked him. Yeah.
I always respected that level of principle to be like, no. You pay, if you want us to do something special, you pay us more. It's like sort of, that's what comedians are too mercenary about.
Yeah, doing it without
and just taking it and getting beaten down.
For sure. And I've got, now that I'm a little bit more comfortable on the circuit where I am, by that I mean I've got a big head and I'm like, I'm better than this shit.
Yeah,
like, when you get to that point, you're like, ah, fuck it, I'm better. And then I'm going to burn a few bridges this year and be cut down straight away. It's completely in my wheelhouse.
Got the new Pete Johansson on there.
Oh, just everyone starts quitting smoking because Elliot's hanging out.
There is something that's what I always thought with Pete. I really loved that he backed himself. He knew how good he was. Yeah. And yeah, he might have rubbed people up the wrong way, but I always liked him.
I really liked him and stuff. But that I do really like that. I think sometimes getting to a place, and I've said to myself now, after I talked about when I was first on this podcast during COVID, that I did a gig and it just went as disastrously as it could have ever gone, and I knew it was going to go disastrously because it was set up all terribly. It was all going to, it was during lockdown, a bunch of students drinking. There was a festival and comedy on it. That was never going to work. And what I should have done is have gone, I'm not going on.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Yes.
I'll see you all later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whatever you ring my agent and moan at them, I will go to my agent.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not putting myself through that out of just self-respect.
Yes.
You know, that's just, it's like if I'm a stripper and I have the right to refuse someone a dance because they're an asshole.
Yeah.
This crowd is going to be assholes.
Well, if they're going to be assholes, I
shouldn't have that right, though, should they?
No, they
When it comes to strippers, he's like, you're a union buster.
Union busting strippers.
Get back to work.
crossing the picket line. Stab strippers.
£20 note in my hand.
Imagine trying to be the one stripper who's trying to bring in guys, we've got to read Dash Capital.
What did I watch? I went to watch Oppenheimer last night. Sorry, you say
it's good, isn't it?
It's brilliant, but there's a whole lot of it.
It is good.
There's obviously stuff about the Communist Party at that time, and you know, them trying to unionize and things. It's a fucking good film.
They're trying to unionize when doing the Manhattan Project.
Well, no, but weirdly, even on like the scientists involved in that, it was like, you know, some of them had in their previous scientific posts were trying to unionize scientists and all that. And obviously, that meant they were on the American government's watch list for communist behaviors. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's great.
I need to say it. But the thing is with. If you ever read up about what Japan did during World War II,
they were baddies.
Everyone in World War II.
In what way? Like prisoners of war, torture,
everything they did. There was massacres. Like Nanking, the Japanese were
what's
bad.
Nanking?
It was the capital of China. It's called.
It's such a bad joke.
Like, it's generally
probably
it's,
they
been,
were Nanking off.
It was generally called this. It was called the Raven Nanking. It got known as that in China, and it was the capital, and they destroyed it and was so brutal in it that after China was like, yeah, we can't have this as our capital anymore. It was just so bad. Like, we've got
Japan did that to China.
China, Korea, everything they did was like of this feudal system. They came from like a feudal system and were going and just brutalized places. Weren't going to back down. And the Americans were like, all right, there's only one way to end this now. I know what it was awful, but if you look at it from the American perspective, they were going, and they dropped a load of leaflets over like Hiroshima and
Nagasaki.
I said, I've just seen that we're going to bomb you in a couple of days. So. Yeah. Enjoy.
And if you read them,
let you know there's a party at the weekend.
There's a fireworks.
There's going to be some noise at the weekend.
I think on the.
Yeah, it's a maintenance. Yeah.
Your little sliding doors ain't gonna be ready for this one.
We are going to ask you to slide them paper thin doors shut for the weekend.
But on the leaflet, I think it even said like, yeah, we've created a device that like mankind has never seen before, like leave the city.
But there was also that thing of, and it does come across in the film, you get the sense that obviously because the Americans, like they wanted to use it. regardless. Yeah. I mean, even if Japan were going to like surrender, Japan were beaten. Like, they were going to lose the war, but it was a case of how long it would take to win the war, but like to defeat, to get them to actually admit defeat.
Pearl Harbor kind of helped towards.
But that was like 3 years before the bomb. That was like was a long time before the bomb. Yeah, but basically the war had actually war had finished. Like the war in Germany had finished ages.
Do you think World War II was 6 days long?
2 days. That's why it's called number two.
Like a 2 day war.
it was the length of a weekend of Just the Tonic.
It was a long weekend.
Peter Hansen refused. Peter Hansen was a conscientious objector and refused to do data.
But no, that was you get the sense.
Their resentment at Pearl Harbor kind of helped the public opinion.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, and they were winning the war against Japan, and there was no way America was going to lose it.
That was the moral kind of quandary when whether they should sort of.
The moral argument they used was if we use this now, they will back down.
The civilians are dying, aren't they? 100% with a nuke.
Well, how many? What was they reckon? It was like over 200,000 civilians ultimately died from it.
70,000 in a minute. But
it's what, and the rest kind of over time.
Yeah, yeah. Was it 110,000 in the initial two swings or something? But then in the film, it's brutal. But they wanted to use it. So like, as much as they use that justification that we got to stop the war.
They're showing off to the world as well.
There's absolutely an ego to it where they're like, if we drop this now, no one's going to fuck with us again.
But also,
even though what actually it did was, it just meant Russia sped up their... There's a great line in the film where it says like people think about the bomb as the end of the Second World War, whereas actually it's the start of the Third World War, sort of. You know what I mean?
But, and the Fourth World War will be fought with sticks and stones. Is the quote?
Be fought with podcasts.
Fought with passive aggressiveness.
I kind of get it.
You call
though,
that like, a war? All right.
All right, mate. Nice war. Who won?
If I built a nuclear bomb, imagine you're into coffee, right? Yeah. Imagine you ordered on Amazon a new coffee thing you're really excited for. Like there was a new. V60 thing to make your coffee. You're excited about using it.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
I know what you mean.
There was an element of that big time.
You want to, you know.
Yes.
I get it. I'm not saying it's morally good.
They were worried mainly about, not morals, because these people don't give a fuck,
but it's also
really.
Like a space race. It was about who's going to get
what
happens.
It was about how it unfolds in the future as well.
Horribly.
It's changed war forever, didn't it?
If you could nuke anywhere, where would you nuke?
Edinburgh.
I don't know. Where would you nuke? I can't think of anywhere, really.
I don't know.
I'd like to throw one in Antarctica or something.
I'm
trying to think where I had a bad gig.
What about all them polar bears, though?
Oh, I'll tell you where.
Bedford.
Luton.
Yeah. That's an area.
Luton, I'd take out
Luton, man.
Based on racial grounds.
I've been to Luton.
Big Asian population. Elliot's just sick and tired of all that.
It just ain't right. Do you know what I mean?
The Asian community know how to deal with a new community. Luton's the worst place in the UK. Doncaster.
I've only gigged in Luton like once when I was new.
Oh, so
I actually had a really nice gig in Luton. I reckon about 5 years ago. I was really surprised because in my head I just think of it as shit.
It's disgraceful.
But and also I think we've discussed it on here before. There's something about a lot of people in those sort of satellite towns: Luton, Bedford, Hemel. You know.
Northampton.
Well, no, Northampton's far enough, it's got its own identity, but a lot of those places are just full of people that have moved out from London because they didn't know what it was becoming. You know what I mean? I grew up in London, it's not fucking, what is it, Londonistan? So they moved to like some weird satellite town, and then all they do is moan about London while they're there. It's like, just shut up.
I know.
Move. If you want to move, move, but then at least shut up and enjoy
London's
where you live.
London's the best.
Exactly.
It is pretty good. I was saying it to Lucas, who's a little podcast whore and does everyone, it seems. That
just passed around.
Yeah. Not much.
That's like a little twink.
Don't knock my hustle.
Like at a gay orgy with a load of bears.
People shoving microphones up my ass.
I'm actually quite nervous about doing this podcast because this is my ex girlfriend's favourite podcast. So much so that she's a Patreon.
Oh really?
Yeah. Darcy.
Hide us. Get your questions in.
Were you saying, girl? Yeah.
In the WhatsApp group. Anyone got any questions yet? Why is he such a fucking lying piece of shit? Yeah.
Why is he a gaslighter? Great crumbing.
Can you ask him how he sleeps at night?
With another woman.
How long were you with Darcy?
4 years. Oh. Yeah, it's quite a fresh breakup, actually. You met Darcy. Yeah.
When did you break up? Let's not get too deep into it.
No, we could go. We broke up probably around May, but I'm a guy, so I've not really processed it until about 4 days ago.
I'm just going to not think about it, and I'm just going to kill myself in December, just on Christmas Eve. Because that's when it'll have the most effect
just
on her.
Myself.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say to her?
I just had this horrible idea that like she puts the podcast on like when she loves the podcast when she's going to sleep and then like she's going to be there with another bloke and just put this episode on just after they've railed and
she's all dreamy all relaxed
cuddled up with another lad and I'm there talking about Hiroshima.
It's so brutal, isn't it?
How long have we been talking for, Lucas?
We've been doing like 25 minutes.
Because we're going to have a little, I reckon it's hot enough, we'll have a little break in about 10. Let's do some questions before we break from the public section of the podcast. From the group, Bill says, does Elliot's father help him with his comedy? I suppose that more probably means more like, because you're both comics, do you run stuff by him? Do you?
Yeah, he actually did.
Because you're very different comedians, obviously, as well.
That's a great resource to have, isn't it?
He actually really helped with
dead, so I can't ask him.
Get the Ouija board out.
But I did get a whole hour show about it, so technically I did mine him for jokes.
There was actually something he did that really helped for the other night. I've got a bit that I'm doing about a breakup, but about like when you have a hot girlfriend, I feel like a shit defender marking. I feel like a shit defender marking Mbappe.
Yeah.
And I'm just constantly looking over the shoulder just as he's and one lapse of concentration. I did it and then did the Mbappe celebration. I've just watched someone do that. And it didn't really go well. I was telling my dad about it and he was like, he's like, people will know Mbappe, they won't know the celebration. Like, you have to kind of watch football for that. He went, use Ronaldo. Everyone knows Ronaldo's a footballer.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I did it last night, Top Secret, and it killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that was something else. Yeah.
You've got to keep it as broad as possible, basically. You've got to forget, you've got to play it to the common denominator.
Yeah, because even I was...
I've heard of Mbappe, but I wouldn't really know much about him. Yeah,
so that was
football
here and there.
Shit. That's the main reason.
What's this? Colin says, what's your biggest ick? That's a new phrase. I'm not really into that phrase.
That means with a partner, doesn't it? Or with a date.
He says actually the term ick he doesn't like, but you can't think of a better way to put it. He says, example, someone referring to their partner as hubby. It makes me want to run into the sea. That's a good shout, actually. That's sort of hubby.
Hubby.
This is my life partner. Icks. What makes you go ick? Lucas, ick. That's your sort of generation's term.
What's your ick,
man? A young man.
Older people use ick. No, I'm
kidding.
just made us all feel like shit.
I'm sorry. You called me a twink 5 minutes ago. So.
Oh, yeah.
You are a twink.
Oh, picky eater. I know I am.
Picky eater.
Yeah, that's
too
a big.
Picky.
Yeah, just won't try new things.
Do you feel like bigger people? Ick. Like fat people.
Is that about me, your ick?
What's the correct phrase? Fat cunt.
My ick's a big fatty.
What's the correct phrase? Fatty bum bum.
Yeah. My ick is just, it's obesity.
Excess BMI.
No,
I find that fat people are horrific. are more picky eaters, ironically.
Picky. Well, they pick more than the fucking stuff.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I know.
They're more picky with what they eat.
Maybe,
but what they eat, they eat a lot, I guess.
Right? Every part of that is wrong, man.
I'm not body shaming anyone.
I don't agree with you, but I'm on board with your body shaming.
I'm good.
I'm enjoying what you're doing, but no, I don't think...
I'm loving your work.
Profoundly disagree, but I'm loving it.
I think their complexities with food are more deeper than what you have just been...
I find that they're a bit more picky. The ones I've known.
What do they eat? What's the one?
Well, they'll be like, no, they won't eat that. You know what I mean? They're a bit more picky.
But
I will try anything.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. I think the way we got there was real bad. But yes, it does make sense. Yeah, it makes sense. We have lost about 20% of our audience, but that's fine.
I don't know how to just say this as an
Ick
without saying
No,
it's not. It's I'm not going to.
Is it a racial?
Yeah. Korean. No.
Oh, God. Just wait till we get on a Patreon bit for that. Come on. I'm going to wait it out.
I find when I
Is it a sexual
it's just like if I've noticed for the first time in my life, like I'm suddenly like, I'm not young anymore.
No.
And there's young people. When I say that, I mean, like, if I go out and there's like people who are 22, I notice they're 22.
Yeah.
If that makes it like actually, there's this energy they have and that. And I'm like, I can't deal with. I was at a bar with a couple of mates and they're both a bit older than me. And they got chatting to these girls who were in their 20s. They were like 20 and 19 and stuff.
Result.
And I was like, all right, whatever, man. Like,
not
weird.
Really, guys.
But they. You had a good night that night, didn't
you? But they were like teenagers about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's weird. But I was also just there thinking, like, what have you guys got to talk about? And their energy is too, oh my God, we're out. Whereas my being out is exciting to them. Whereas I've been out before. I understand. It's no longer exciting.
Yeah.
It's no longer there. If I go into a place now and the music's too loud and I can't find a table to chat with my mates.
Yes.
I hate it unless I'm out doing pills or something. There's no point. Otherwise, if I will, you know.
Yeah.
I like a little pub with a table.
Yes. A couple of little young Dorises. A couple of young scrunts.
Always with every girl.
On each knee. Yeah. Showing off because you drive. Yeah, I'm a comic, yeah. So gross.
Accidentally showing me a blue tick on Instagram. I'll follow you back, hoping they noticed the amount of your followers.
One thing I will say about Edinburgh is less creepy than it used to be. Like,
it's a shame, isn't it?
I know, it's really lost
its edge. Because I ain't there. I took a couple of years off. Let the Me Too thing calm down a bit, man. Always looking over my shoulder.
Like a shark, man. Staying on the move.
Sniffing it out.
But no, but it used to be, like, Edinburgh, I used to walk into the Loft Bar, Abattoir, whatever, right? And I popped into all of those this year, just like briefly say hello to people. Just grab a flyer.
Some young open spots.
No, but there was, that's what it was. It used to be, you literally look around those bars, it'd always be like a 40-50-year-old comedian.
Married.
You know, their wife back in London.
And they're just cornering some young.
Yeah. And
comic.
It was honestly, it was gross.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any of that this year. They've really gone underground.
Where are these?
They've taken it to the gutters, man.
One of my flyers hit on me on the final night. I was at DJ Battles.
Yeah.
And she came over and like just started like, she was like 19 and she was very 19-year-old flirting. Very
did you rail
old.
It?
God.
What was its name? No, really.
Just kidding. You're trying to not use, you're going like, they might have different pronouns or something, but it isn't her. It's like they, them.
That's interesting.
That's
science project.
Can you choose it as a pronoun?
You could choose any word as a pronoun nowadays.
I might have it.
It's fucking stupid, isn't it? Not really. That's the most offensive thing I've said.
But yeah, I had to like, I was like, no. And then I went over and I was laughing, telling the people from my agency, but the people from my agency, they're really good. They were amazing this year, but they were all women. So they were like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, yeah.
What? Well, okay. Like, as if you're like,
oh, you've been hit on. You didn't want to be hit on. So they were coming at it from a female angle. Yeah. Whereas as a guy, you're like,
of course I'm okay.
I'm bragging.
This was a boast. I got a semi. I don't know where to put it.
When I was 18, I'm hitting on you. When I was like 18 or 19 up there, there was this comic who was doing all this like feminist show and that, and all about like fucking men are awful. And she took me back to hers one night when I was 19, got me hammered, gave me drugs, and then slept with me and called me the next day and was like, do not tell anyone about that.
What was her name?
We'll say it when we break, because I know exactly who you're talking
about. Oh, dear. Patreon.com/WeRTV for £3 a month.
we can ruin a career.
Yeah.
But she didn't do anything that bad, did she?
Well, apart from the age.
But there is a difference when it's a bloke.
Sexually assault you while on drugs.
Yeah. But
she didn't
like,
spike you, though, did she?
I was very willingly going. It's the optics of it are not great. If it was I always thought if that was the other way around, that guy would be fucked.
But I do think there is a difference.
Again, it all depends on. There's a lot of other contextual things, I think, and.
But when men are stronger, I guess, that is an element, isn't it?
Mm. Stronger, like, what you mean physically stronger?
Yeah. Where a girl could be intimidated by a bloke.
Yeah, but this was before Eddie hit the gym. So that's when he was
a little twink.
I'd have lost that fight. I'd have had a 10-8 round.
Took an L that night.
shouldn't it have put us away, but the judge's decision would have been unanimous.
Right, here we go. What's next? We might have done that one before. What's your last two Amazon purchases?
Oh, yeah, they keep asking.
Mine's really grim.
Mine's the same as before, yeah.
Oh, just more grot.
Yeah, more grot. The bathroom cabinet was one of them.
Oh, yeah, that was.
And a dildo.
To put in it.
Yeah. To keep it pristine.
What's your last two?
Oh, I can't actually remember. I'll have to check. Probably something really boring.
Yeah, mine's pretty boring. That's what I am. But my one was pretty depressing as well.
What was yours? An urn?
No, it wasn't. It was clothes labels for my mum's clothes. Because obviously her dementia was so bad now.
This is a jumper.
It's got to have a room name and name on it because she'll just put them in places that they won't be able to find
them. That's practical and helpful.
It's practical, but it's also not.
I do that with clothes though. I put them in places I can't find them.
Yeah.
That's true, actually.
I don't know what way put it there. You know when you're on a podcast and you're like, get involved?
Yeah, I do that.
Maybe this bit of the podcast, such a shock.
I do that,
harrowing.
What are yours, Lucas?
I share an Amazon account with my mum, so I'm just looking at hers.
Oh, that's sweet.
So there's a dildo in there as well.
That's grot.
She ordered some bin liners.
She could get them from the shop.
Exactly.
And... yeah, well, she couldn't be bothered. And some sticky adhesive hooks.
For what? The dildos.
Yeah, and the bins are for me. She's moving me out. She's throwing my stuff out. She's chucking me out.
Right, let's quickly do... This one is so specific.
I don't know, probably kitchenware.
Martin has asked, so specific, when it comes to using lube or gel for sex...
I've never heard it called gel.
I know.
Should we get some gel?
What do you prefer, sex wax? Water-based or silicone products? And do you have a favourite brand? What's happening here, Julian? Sex alarm just gone off. This is lube alarm.
Your dildo has arrived.
I think, show us the lube you're about to use.
I think Julian should absolutely be the one answering this question.
I mean, water-based, it doesn't split. Condoms, does it? Is that I don't use it. I don't know. I just gob on it.
I just gob on my dick, look around for feds, and put it in.
Oh my god.
Look around for the pole.
See a police officer just ah.
Right, not yet. No, we're not doing nothing. No, just chill, stop crying. He's coming.
All right. Jesus Christ. On that note, let's have a little break.
I don't know, really.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that in the Patreon episode. All right. Should we just have a little break? Get some cool eggs. It's 30 degrees outside and it's hot as a fucking ear. So let's do it. Let's have a little break.
Peace.
Hi everybody. That's the end of the podcast. public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We Are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's triple. It's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. But yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what it is. Three?
We've got £3, £5, £10 and £20.
That's what I mean. The 20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue extra episodes and
hours and hours. Hours.
I mean, there's what I don't know how I'm 100
hours
extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise, just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye.
We're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're...
Hey, you know.
Ron, it used to die of AIDS.